On any given day, our emotions run the gamut. Some days are filled with happiness, while others are overcome with work, sometimes a little boredom, and a few are punctuated with sadness. So how do we keep our balance? Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll brings another message from his classic Laugh Again series. And if you're looking to find that delicate emotional space between responsibility and levity, then you'll appreciate what's ahead in Philippians chapter 2. The writer, Paul, gives us time-tested wisdom. Chuck titled today's message, While Laughing, Keep Your Balance.
There are a lot of things that are tough in life, but the thought of trying to live up to someone else's impeccable example is overwhelming, to say the least. And we've all learned that our lives will be one frustration after another if we try to follow Christ's example through the hypocrisy of, well, faking it, or the immaturity of hurrying it, or worse, the legalism of striving for it. We need balance, don't we? We need the balance that can only come through Christ's power, which enables us, working within us to accomplish the impossible. We're going to read about that today, and we're going to learn about it in our time together. Turn with me to the letter to the Philippians once again, chapter 2, where we will learn how to lean on Christ alone, and in doing so, discover that very truth by following Him. He will bring a joyful, satisfying balance to our lives when we do that. So, got your Bible open? Here we are in the New Testament book of Philippians, chapter 2. I'll begin reading at verse 12, and I'll read down to verse 18. Philippians 2, 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called, While Laughing, Keep Your Balance.
Examples are wonderful things. People who have gone before us and have lived lives that are admirable and exemplary are so valuable to all of us. We who are students of biographies have in our libraries a number of books about great men and great women who have lived these exemplary lives and have set the stage or set the pace for us to do the same. At some time, however, their lives are so significant we feel frustrated rather than motivated when we read of them. I'm thinking of an article I read several years ago entitled, Advice to a Bored Young Man. I want you to hear what this writer has to say. Died age 20, buried age 60.
The sad epitaph of too many Americans. Mummification sets in on too many young men at an age when they should be ripping the world wide open. For example, many people reading this page are doing so with the aid of bifocals. Inventor, Ben Franklin, age 79. The presses that printed this page were powered by electricity. One of the first harnessers, Ben Franklin, age 40. Some of you are reading this on the campus of one of the Ivy League universities. Founder, Ben Franklin, age 45. Others are in a library. Who founded the first library in America? Ben Franklin, age 25. Some got their copy through the U.S. mail. Its father, Ben Franklin, age 31. Now, think fire. Who started the first fire department? Who invented the lightning rod? Who designed a heating stove still in use today? Ben Franklin, ages 31, 43, 36. Wit, conversationalist, economist, philosopher, diplomat, printer, publisher, linguist, spoke and wrote 5 languages, advocate of paratroopers from balloons a century before the airplane was invented. All this until age 84. And Ben Franklin had exactly 2 years of formal schooling. It's a good bet that you already have more sheer knowledge than Franklin ever had when he was your age. Perhaps you think there's no use trying to think of anything new, that everything's been done wrong. The simple agrarian America of Franklin's day didn't begin to need the answers we need today. Go do something about it. Well, I'm trying to hear those words through the ears of a mother of 3 or 4 small children who does well to get dressed by 11 o'clock in the morning, or the busy husband and father of 3 or 4 who does well to keep his sanity working 6, sometimes 7 days a week just to put bread on the table. I'm trying to read a schedule into those words like most of us live with hardly enough time to even read about inventions, to say nothing of discovering them. Kind of makes me agree with Mark Twain, who once said, "Few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example." And so what do we do? Surrounded by these great examples, these exemplary people, how do we pull it off? Well, we have techniques nowadays. One is called faking it. And I'm thinking of the music industry. And the scandal that revolved around Milli Vanilli, who won the Grammy Award for the album Girl, You Know It's True. Problem is, it wasn't. And they lip-synced the entire musical piece, which resulted in the disgrace of having to give the award back, to which the president of Capitol Records, Nashville, named Jimmy Bowen, replied, "You have to remember that music is a mirror of the times, and when the mirror is close to what's happening, that's what sells. The times we live in are very plastic. There are a lot of phony things happening in people's daily lives. So Milli Vanilli is just playing the game," which says something about the times we live in. And another in the same article writes, "As technology allows music producers to use increasingly sophisticated electronic trickery to make albums and videos, the Milli Vanilli scandal will only repeat itself. Unless audiences stop valuing image more than content." Well, we can fake it. We get that great example, we hear those great voices, and we see those great images, and we can fake a recording, like we can fake a life. Another common technique when facing a great example is hurry it up. I find more and more in this generation want more and more, earlier and earlier. Don't slow me down by making me pay a price or go through the pain of process. Don't make me wait. I want it now. I want it now. Let me just hit the high spots and ultimately I can look like you look or sound like you sound or in some cases have a ministry like you have. I just want it quicker. I don't want to be in my 50s and 60s or 70s. I want it in my 20s. Whether you liked him or not, you have to agree that the late pianist Liberace was one of the most popular pianists of the latter half of the 20th century. I was interested in reading his self-confessed style recently, and I quote, "My whole trick is to keep the tune well out in front. If I play Tchaikovsky, I play his melodies and I skip his struggles. Naturally, I condense. I have to know just how many notes my audience will stand for. If there's time left over, I fill in with a lot of runs up and down the keyboard." It looks like, it seems like Tchaikovsky, but we don't get too heavy with it. Just add a few runs. And the most common method used in Christian circles when we get an example that's laid before us and we can't live up to it is to strive for it. Work harder. The familiar song, "Living for Jesus, a Life That Is True," also says, "Striving to please him in all that I do." Is that the Christian life? If it isn't faking it and if it isn't hurrying it, is that it? You want to live the rest of your life striving to please him in all that you do? Some of you say, "I'm doing my best. I'm trying. I'm exhausted." What is true of all other examples is not true of Jesus. Now listen to this. All other great examples, whether they be some president or statesman or woman, whether they be some inventor or novelist or athlete, whatever, all the other examples may inspire, but they cannot enable. They may motivate us, but they don't have any power to give us. There's nothing of Ben Franklin left over to make me the inventor he was. But when it comes to Christ, it's different. He says, "You want to live my life? Here's my power. You want to please my Heavenly Father? Here's the enablement. I don't leave you as orphans. I give you my Holy Spirit, and I live on through you by His power." I find that very encouraging, having failed far more than I've succeeded at most of my dreams. And I think you'd say the same thing. Having been plagued by sin all my life, and struggling to find my way to the top of the water to breathe, I find great hope in that He gives me the ability to breathe regardless. In Philippians chapter 2, for example, I come across another example. I am told to do nothing by selfishness or empty conceit, Philippians 2:3. We've looked at that. We've frowned our way through it, knowing how selfish and conceited most of us are at times. And we've also grown when we read, with humility of mind, let each one regard one another as more important than himself. And we've all been selfish. Maybe as early as this morning, you've already evidenced selfishness. You wanted to be somewhere when you wanted to get there, and you didn't want to wait for anybody. In fact, look at the command, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's no getting around it. He not only is the perfect example, he is the example of perfection. Think of it. Without a flaw, without one moment where he blew it, without a wayward thought, without a disobedient act, he pulled it off. And we're told to have the same attitude he had when he emptied himself, when he gave up the adoration of angels and took upon himself the form of a little baby in Bethlehem and grew up to be a man who was punched in the face and spit upon and had Roman spikes driven into his palms and into his ankles and was left to die. Now you live like that. I can't. And you can't either. All the striving in the world won't make me like him. I need help. And I cry out for it in prayer every day of my life. And the good news is he gives it. In fact, he not only gives it, he enables me to keep some things in balance that I could not otherwise do. Move through this wonderful second chapter to the center paragraph, verses 12 through 18, and you will find encouragement, I think. For there is here not only instruction and command, there is hope that you can make it happen through his strength. In fact, I find three different areas to be kept in balance. Please notice verses 12 and 13. Purpose balanced with power. 14 through 16, attitude balanced with actions. 17 and 18, there it is, seriousness balanced with joy. And it can happen on a regular basis through the enablement of Jesus Christ and only through him. Only through him. Now let's get into the particulars. I think until we do, it's all just generalized motivating talk. We need to see how it works out. First of all, purpose and power. Let me read for you these two verses, 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Wait just a minute. If I were sitting at the kitchen table with you, and you and I were reading these two verses, one of us would notice a conflict, probably both of us. You and I are told to work out our salvation, only to be told, verse 13, that it is God at work in you. Make up your mind. Which is it? Who does it? That's a great question. That is, in fact, a question that has caused some people to come up with a wrong answer because they've seen only one and not both. To begin with, understand this is not a command directed to people to become saved. These people are already saved. I'll show you. Chapter 1, verse 1 of Philippians. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ. This is a letter written to people already in Christ who are living in Philippi. Geographically, they're in Philippi. Positionally and spiritually, they're in Christ. You and I are the same, regardless of the city we may live in. Because we have placed our faith and trust in Christ, we are set apart in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 12, or verse 6, chapter 1. I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, that's salvation, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's sanctification. We are born again because the good work has begun, and we are being completed because the good work continues through the blessing and power of Jesus Christ. And he even refers to them as brethren, chapter 1, verse 12, and beloved, chapter 2, verse 12. These are Christians. This section is written to people who are already in the family, but we are in need of working out our salvation. Please observe, it does not say work toward or work for. He's saying work it out. Three illustrations come to mind. One, a musician. Two, a person who is ill, a patient. And three, an athlete. See if this doesn't make it clear. A musician sits in a chair and has music placed on a stand in front of him or her. The music is composed by the genius who puts notes on the page and mixes it with rhythm and with style and composes the sheet of music. But it's incomplete unless it is played out by the musician, by the soloist who takes the music and interprets it with voice and style. The composer doesn't have a complete work until the music is sung out or played out. You and I are normally healthy. We go to a physician because we get sick, and the normal routine doesn't get us well. The physician, through training, skill, and gift, discovers by diagnosis that we have a certain disease that must take medication for us to get over. He writes out a prescription, and he gives you the prescription. You take the prescription. You didn't write it. You're given the prescription. But it's up to you now to go and have it filled by the pharmacist and to carry out the instructions of the prescription, or you won't get better. And his work is in vain. It takes both. No physician can heal, but he can prescribe medicine that can be taken, and with the proper dosage in the proper period of time, health can return. That's what this passage is about. You have been given salvation, just as the musician is given a piece of music, just as you have been just as placed into your hands as a prescription. Salvation is yours. Now it is our job to work it out.
We'll continue our study of Philippians chapter 2 on Monday's program. And please don't rush away, because Chuck Swindoll is here to share a closing comment coming up in just a moment. You're listening to Insight for Living. To learn more about Chuck Swindoll and this nonprofit ministry, visit us at insightworld.org. In addition to Chuck's 14-part series, he's also written a book about Philippians. You can find all the details for purchasing a copy of Laugh Again when you go to insight.org/store. Chuck, as we've come to this final program of the week, it's important to remind our listening family about an upcoming deadline.
That's right, Dave. If you value our daily visits together, today would be an outstanding day for you to step forward with a well-timed, generous donation. Other than the month of December, there is no month in the year when a contribution helps Insight for Living Ministries more than right now. On June the 30th, our accounting staff will officially close the books on 40 years of service to our listening family. Time is short, and we're doing everything possible to end this year in a strong position. Over the last 12 months, our staff has done a magnificent job at holding down our internal expenses. Many on our leadership team are wearing several different hats, which has kept our costs down. But it won't surprise you to hear that our external expenses, things like postage and printing and supplies and the cost of radio time, continue to escalate. Even so, we're reaching more people now than ever before. We started back in 1979 with radio, and it's still our most effective means for touching the lives of others. But our podcast and digital audience is growing every day. In fact, we've reached the highest number of web visits in our history, and a growing audience watching the live stream every Sunday morning. All of this to say, we're doing far more with much less. And to keep doing so, we're depending on friends like you to come alongside Insight for Living Ministries. Please take this personally. Pause for a few minutes and follow the simple instructions Dave will share in a few moments. You can call us or go online or write us a letter. And you can even give a donation by using our convenient mobile app. Thanks for doing your part in helping us finish four decades of ministry in a strong financial position so that we can pursue all 195 countries of the world with the truth of the Scriptures. We deeply appreciate your gift today.
There's still time to respond before the June 30th deadline, and we encourage you to get in touch today while it's fresh on your mind. Here's how. If you're listening in the United States, give us a call at 1-800-772-8888. Or you can readily give a much-needed donation online at insight.org/donate. More and more people are listening to Chuck's teaching by using the convenient mobile app. If you're among them, you'll notice we provided a simple method for giving a donation on the app. You can also make a connection with us by texting this number, 555-888, and typing the one word, Insight. Again, send your text to 555-888 and text the one word, Insight. I'll repeat our phone number one more time. It's 1-800-772-8888, or give online at insight.org/donate. Chuck Swindoll's classic series called Laugh Again continues Monday, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, While Laughing, Keep Your Balance, was copyrighted in 1990, 1992, 1999, 2008, and 2019. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.